Today's revamped episode of Fight Night Picks and the brand new podcast is brought to you by Strikeforce Energy. Head on over to the website at strikeforceenergy.com. They have liquid packets. You can turn any 16.9-ounce drink into an energy drink. And if you use the promo code FNP, you're going to save 20% off at strikeforceenergy.com. We're also brought to you by Spretzelbox. Head on over to the website at spretzelbox.com. Use the promo code FNP. You're going to save 10% off your first order and your very first style box. So, spretzelbox.com, and let's get into today's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Frank Allen.
It is April the 4th, a Thursday. We're revamping the podcast. Matt's here. He gives me a thumbs up. You can't hear him.
I forgot that you guys couldn't see me.
Let's get into it. All right, and welcome to another episode of Fight Night Picks. As always, I'm one half of your hosting duo, Craig Allen. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CraigAllenFNP. And today, it's a special version of the audio podcast because we're going back to the basics. And we've got Matt here. You can find him on Twitter at MattAllenFNP. Matt, introduce yourself.
I'm Matt Allen. The second half of this podcast, as Craig said, you can find me at MattAllenFNP on Twitter. I'll be there recapping a lot of MMA events, especially while we do the fight companions. And even for the events that we're not covering live, I'll still be live tweeting.
And a bit of kind of sad news on a bit of a somber note. I'm going to be missing NEF coming up, NEF 37. You've got that on April 27th. Was really looking forward to going. I'm going to be in Oklahoma instead, so things are kind of shaping up that way. But let's look at some highlights. So last week, if we do a little bit of a recap of the week that was, we had a lot of great MMA. Bellator 219, UFC on ESPN Plus, rather ESPN2, as well as one championship. Matt, from Bellator 219, it was kind of a fight card that flew under the radar. They had two prelims on their app and their website. They had fights over on Paramount Network as well as DAZN. And then they had a packed 9-fight postlim card, which I already kind of had some issues with that. But it was a good event overall. And what were some of the fights that interested you the most?
Like you said, it was a good event overall. I feel like it really went downhill since he didn't get the main event that we were kind of promised. I know Lorenz Larkin pulled out a few weeks early. He was supposed to fight Andre Koroshkov in the main event. That would have been a very exciting fight because a lot of people outside the UFC, they still recognize the name Lorenz Larkin. And Koroshkov, I feel like he definitely has a good fan base in the Bellator. He's one of kind of their homegrown stars. But like you said, it was a really good event action-wise, the whole thing. I mean, the Joe Schilling-Keith Berry fight, that was fun. I mean, until both guys get tired there near the end. But it was definitely a fun fight. Well, we had brought up the Daniel Strauss victory. I mean, that was just amazing to see kind of what he's overcome and how he came back. And then the main event was insane. It was just bombs away from the beginning.
The main event could possibly be, and I'm not selling the farm on this one, it could be one of those fight of the year type fights because it was so much fun to watch.
It definitely was.
And that's why. Maybe technique wasn't the strongest point. And even when these guys seemed like they might be getting tired, they turned it into another gear and they just kept striking. So a lot of fun in that main event. The Strauss comeback was awesome to see. Koroshkov looked in fine form and looked like he hadn't really lost a step since his Lima loss. So a great one overall, Bellator 219. On those post-limbs, you also had Sean Bunch getting win over Dominic Mazzotta. That was pretty important. And David Rickles getting the finish over AJ Matthews. He came out with a Stone Cold Steve Austin intro. Pretty cool stuff from him, and a great interview if you want to go back into the Fight Night Picks anthology. We spoke with him before his last fight against Guillerme Vasconcelos, so good one there. Last weekend, you also had on Saturday, UFC on ESPN2. That was from Philadelphia, PA. It was a big deal that they had this event. It was an all right card. I mean, as far as name value is concerned, it was really top heavy in that respect, but a pretty good one for a fight night. If you had to give this one a letter grade, what would you give it and why?
I'd give it probably a B minus to a B. I felt like a lot of the fights kind of, and like you had said, it was very top heavy. Some of the fights on the main card were very exciting. I thought Michelle Watterson, just of note, she really had a career performance against Karolina Kovalkiewicz, kind of got her name up there for potential title challengers here in the future, or at least to get that one more fight to get her into title contention. I know you were really big on the Josh Emmett knockout win of Michael Johnson. I mean, he flatlined him on the feet. Jack Hermanson, a guy we've been talking about a lot on this podcast for the last little while, he ran over David Branch. He got him with that weird kind of modified guillotine. And then Justin Gaethje, Edson Barboza, for as long as it lasted, that fight was insane. They traded leg kicks for the first minute, and the Gaethje just went forward and beat the brakes off him.
Yeah, and we might reference this a little bit during the show, but you can also find a full episode of This Week in MMA over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fightnightpicks. You can find us there. There's going to be a little bit of differences here between our audio podcast as well as our video version of the show, but Matt brings up a good point because Josh Emmett coming back off a long layoff due to injury. We spoke with him back in the summer of 2018. He was still trying to make his way back. Team Alpha Male's been on a bit of a skid. Josh Emmett looked all right to start this fight.
I don't think he looked good.
No, he was kind of starting to shake off the rust. And then finally in that third round, closer to the end, able to get the knockout win over Michael Johnson, springboarded him. And the neat thing about Josh Emmett, and I say it's neat, but realistically, it's not neat. So Matt made a big point over on Twitter of talking about the weight cut of Josh Emmett. When he lifted that pant leg and lost a couple liters of water, it was disgusting. Gross. But since then, even more disgusting pictures came out, and it looked like a disgusting weight loss challenge because Josh Emmett dropped about 30 pounds before this fight, almost 40 pounds. And he looked like a regular guy in the picture where he's around 180. And then to cut to 145,
he just looked extremely like emaciated.
So drawn out. So, you know, Michael Johnson, I mean, he was a fighter that went from 155 back down to 145. But Josh Emmett at 145, it's a tough cut.
It really is. And if recent events have proven anything, is that it's not worth killing yourself to make weight just so you're a slightly bigger fighter. And I know it worked out for him in this fight. And hey, it might work out for him in the next one. But it definitely pays to fight at a more natural weight class. I mean, we've seen that Jorge Masvidal is definitely outsized by a lot of guys at 170, but he just knocked out the biggest welterweight there is in the planet.
Anthony Pettis, too. Going up against Wonderboy.
Exactly. And Pettis is a guy who killed himself to make 145. 155, I think, is the right division for him, but 15 pounds is so much in between. Especially, we're just talking about water. This isn't like 15 pounds of fat or of muscle. It's basically just water at that point because you're in such good shape.
And the poster boy for moving weight classes, of course, and an example that's cited all over the place, Anthony Johnson going from 170, 185, finding a home at 205. And if he comes back, he's going to be fighting in super heavyweight.
He's going to barely make heavyweight.
Yarzinho Rosenstruck is going to have to give up his nickname because Biggie Boy is now Anthony Rumble Johnson.
Yeah, he's looking thick.
A great UFC on ESPN2 card and really enjoyable after the fact. I give it either a B or an A. It was a lot of fun.
Now, I know we're going to talk about ONE Championship here in a second, and a lot of people like to bring up the fact about how ONE Championship has figured out weight cutting, but it's really interesting once you kind of go that extra step deeper. And I don't want to throw anyone at ONE Championship under the bus because they're phenomenal fighters and they're definitely world-class, especially once you get to the top. But their weight cutting practices are very odd, to say the least. They don't make their weigh-ins public. No one really knows what goes on. I know there's the whole hydration test thing, but there's definitely a lot of smoke and mirrors behind their weigh-ins. So whenever you hear an argument about weigh-ins in UFC, don't just jump on the fact that ONE Championship has figured it out.
A lot of fun with that ONE Championship, a new era card. It was justly named. So many good fighters on there. You also had four title fights at the top. I fell asleep after the first one, but I was there to watch Gary Tonin taking on Anthony Anglin. Of course, we had the conversation with Gary Tonin a couple of weeks ago before this fight, taking on Anglin, who was a knockout artist at 8-5. It's not a great record, but if you've gone back and watched his fights, you'll understand why this one made sense. And Gary Tonin dominated from the start. It was a first round TKO, ground and pound. He was all over him, utilized superior wrestling. And I mean, you know the tools that are in his arsenal. He's one of the best BJJ guys out there, regardless of weight class. He's one of the best, but man, he's really putting everything together right now.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Tonin, he's one of these guys who, like you had said, he's a specialist in jiu-jitsu, but he's built every other element of his game too. So he's got that in his back pocket if he has to use it. I mean, he could pull guard on most guys. He's that good. But the fact that he's kind of rounded out all of his MMA skills, he's definitely going to be champion one day.
After that fight, you had Mei Yamaguchi, a former title challenger at 115 against Angela Lee a couple of fights ago, taking on Ksenia Lachkova, and Lachkova actually looked pretty good in this fight. And I believe she was winning it up until Yamaguchi caught her in an armbar, so it was a good comeback win. Yamaguchi, definitely don't look at her record when you watch her fight. She's still electric and a fighter of note, and I can't believe that she was on the prelims, but prelims really good. Yeah, Al also had Khairat Akhmetov beating Reese McLaren. That was one of the fights in that flyweight Grand Prix. So Akhmetov moving on. He's going to be taking on Danny Kingad, who was able to get the win over Pancrase champ Senjo Ikeda. That was also a really good fight. Ended up in a decision win for Kingad. And then the big fight that a lot of people had eyes on, and maybe there weren't a lot of people in North America, you know, waking up super early on Sunday morning to watch this fight, but Timofey Nasyuk and getting the win over Eddie Alvarez. I mean, to me, Alvarez didn't look totally crisp in this fight. What were your thoughts after the fact?
It looked like Eddie just couldn't get started. That's really what it looked like. He looked cold kind of coming out. I don't know really what it was. It was the change of organization. If it's just he's taking a lot of damage throughout his career. Maybe Eddie Alvarez comes back in his next fight and looks fine. It's definitely something to look at kind of where he is at in his career. But for Timofey, I mean, that's as big as a win as you can possibly have in one championship. Beating Eddie Alvarez, former UFC champ, former Bellator champ. They call him the Underground King for a reason. He's won belts in every single organization he's ever been in. So it's a huge win for Timofey. It's a huge loss for Eddie Alvarez. Hopefully he can bounce back. Shinya Aoki just got the title, and I know a lot of people are going to want to see another fight between those two, but it's definitely not a good look for Eddie Alvarez in his first one championship fight.
No, and it was pretty weird, eerie feeling after the fact. I mean, he was more or less locked to get the win here. I know a lot of fans of international MMA knew that Nasyuk can have that kind of power and kind of expected something like this. So great win for Nasyuk, and he moves on in that that tournament style there at 170, and a good one for him. In the next fight, you had Demetrius Johnson going classic Demetrius Johnson. He got caught by an uppercut by Yuya Wakamatsu, but his wrestling just looked superb. He was able to catch him in kind of, you would mention it, kind of an inverted choke, but for him, it was kind of a side guillotine. He didn't look like he had the arm all the way in, but able to crank and get the victory.
Such a high-level grappler that it doesn't matter what organization, what weight class. I mean, Demetrius Johnson's just a monster at everything.
Yeah, you saw what he did against Ray Borg when Ray Borg was kind of at the pinnacle of his game, competing all the time. So a good win there for Demetrius Johnson. He's a lock to win that. Like I said, he's going to be taking on the winner of Kingad and Akhmetov for that flyweight title in one. So keep your eye on that. And Demetrius Johnson, man, he's going to be a star for that organization.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, one championship's put a lot of money into esports, too. And he can kind of be the face of that. So maybe you don't consider esports a sport. I know a lot of people don't. But he can definitely be a crossover star between the two.
Oh, man. He's going to be huge for them. I know Ben Askren's getting a lot of shine right now, but losing a star like Demetrius Johnson really, really sucks.
It definitely does. But I do think that one championship's better built for him to become a star than the UFC ever was.
100%. So you had the four title fights, Bibiano Fernandez winning back his belt with a win over Kevin Bellingon. It was an illegal elbow to the back of the head by Bellingon in the third round that ended that fight. Really sad. Hopefully they run it back for a fourth installment, because that was the trilogy right there. And Fernandez's second win in the three fight series. Ong La and Song was able to keep his 205 belt. Remember, he's the middleweight and light heavyweight champ over Ken Hasegawa, a TKO in the second round. You also had Zhang Jinyang able to keep her belt against Angela Lee, who's fighting up. That's her first loss in her pro career. And Shinya Aoki able to win the 170 belt against Edward Foliang. That's their lightweight division. And man, what a career it's been for Shinya Aoki.
I mean, he's done everything in every organization. There's not much more for him to do, really. I mean, I would like to see the Eddie Alvarez, another fight between those two. I know that's kind of what one championship was probably going to try to build to eventually. But yeah, I mean, Shinya Aoki, real legend of the sport.
Exactly. And another legend of Japanese MMA. And of course, this card took place in Tokyo. Sexyama, he was in the crowd. He is shiny.
Looking sexy as ever.
Shiny and orange, but good for him. And that's the weekend that was. As far as the preview is concerned for the week, that is, there's a couple different M1 cards. They're more of feeder cards. You've got Road to M1 USA tonight, Thursday, April 4th. You've also got Road to M1 over in Chelyabinsk, Russia. That one's taking place on Saturday. Maybe you want to check those out. The Russian card isn't actually as good as the USA card. At the top of your Road to M1 USA, you've got Dakota Cochran, who knocked out, Matt's looking at the records here. Dakota Cochran, who knocked out Johnny Hendricks at WBKFF, came in on short notice to take that fight. Taking on James Warfield Lane. You've also got Travis Weave at 75-22, taking on Jair Lugo. And a man with the most professional fights in all of MMA is Matt Size, Travis Fulton, at 256, 54 and 10, taking on Shannon Rich, who's 57 and 86. And Matt also pointed out a fight at 115. Jenny Klausis, who's 1-2, taking on Celine Haga, who is 10 and 16. There are some decent fights. I mean, Jamal Emmers, who took part in Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series back in June of this year, it was a loss to Julian Arosa. But since then, he had a win in December against Fard Muhammad, and now he's going to be taking on Darrid Minor on this card. So looking forward to that one. Best card of the weekend. If you're a hardcore MMA fan, you got to be watching Fight Nights Global 92. You can catch that on Fight Pass. Coming at you from Moscow on Saturday. Main card starts at 2 p.m. Eastern. Ali Bagitanov taking on Vartan Asatryan. Of course, you're going to know the first fighter that I mentioned there from his fight against Demetrius Johnson, former 125er in the UFC. What was his tenure like in the UFC, Matt?
I mean, it was mostly positive. He lost to Joseph Benavidez. He lost to Demetrius Johnson. But other than that, he was on a really big tear, beat John Lineker.
Mostly positive, drug positive.
Yeah, exactly. But the big thing that kind of shines over his career was the fact that after the Demetrius Johnson loss, he failed for EPO, which as a flyweight, you shouldn't have cardio issues anyways. Yeah, EPO is a real steroid. It's no picograms or nothing.
And another professional fight that you might want to note, and it's right up there, the 170-pound title in Fight Nights Global. You've got Dmitry Bikrev at 10-3 taking on Maxime Buterin, and they're going to make a big deal over Buterin's record. He's 16-1-1. You go through, it's a padded record. He's been taking on scrubs. Guys,
he beat Craig two of those times. Like,
yeah, it's... guys, yeah, he looks like me with a beard, but guys with, you know, single-digit records. Yeah. So, don't put a whole lot of stock into that, but that's what you can look forward to this weekend. And then, as we skirt right along, a couple things to note. We called this segment in our video portion of the show our Twitter purge, but a couple of things went on Twitter as far as fight announcements and other just general news there. Obviously, you had the Conor and Khabib nonsense. Is this something that we're going to see continue until Conor and Khabib fight again? Or is this something that's just going to become commonplace in the sport?
No, because Conor and Khabib should never fight again. This is the thing. Oh, but he won the third round. The judges don't count their scorecards if you get stopped. That's the big problem with that. Also, that fight wasn't very close. There's so many other title fights that are way closer that no one calls for a rematch for. So having a rematch of that fight, I get it. Conor's a big star. But I feel at this point, and I truly do believe this, with ESPN making or giving the UFC the amount of money that they are to have all the rights, and I feel like Khabib's a big enough star that you can just put him by himself on a pay-per-view, and he's going to get the, you know, 500,000, 600,000 pay-per-views that you're really going to hope for. No, it's not 2 million. But guess what? Here's the thing. With the money that ESPN's already giving the UFC, plus the potential pay-per-view buys that Khabib's going to generate anyways, because so many more fans got on board once they saw him fight Conor, that I don't think the Conor-Khabib rematch is as big as people really think it is. And that is mainly attributed just to the revenue that ESPN's given the UFC. So I feel like let's say Max beats Dustin Poirier next weekend and fights Khabib. That's a super fight anyways that's going to get you, you know, the high pay-per-view buys. So I have no need to see a Conor-Khabib rematch. We saw it happen the first time. We saw how one-sided it was. Maybe Conor lands a left hand quick, knocks him out. But the chance is so low that we really don't need to see that rematch anytime soon.
And as negative an effect this had on not just the UFC, but on the sport in general, I mean, you never want to see a rivalry like this take place in such a public forum. There was some good to come out of this. You saw fighters like Ciara Bahadurzada, Kelvin Gastelum,
and
the biggest fighter of note, Chris Cyborg, come out against this. And Chris Cyborg, if you know, maybe you weren't paying attention, she's over in Africa. Her main training partner, Don Madge, you know, kind of brought her over. And if you followed her for the last couple of months or month, she's been over there building walls with the big pygmy himself, Justin Wren, former Bellator heavyweight, a guy who hasn't competed since 2017. And man, he's like 9-1 in his last 10 or something.
He's
insane.
Doing more important things than fighting, though. He's building wells for people who don't have water.
Yeah, so Chris Cyborg doing a lot of great humanitarian work and came out against this. So it was nice to see a big name like that, one of the biggest stars in the sport. And even though she lost her belt, she still is one of the biggest stars in the sport.
Yeah, she's so recognizable. That's the thing. And she had gone on such a long run. She had fought a lot of big name opponents that you know, she's not Ronda Rousey famous, but she's up there for women's MMA for sure.
100%. And a couple of fights of note that were announced here recently and unannounced recently. You have Alexei Oleinik stepping in on short notice for Alexander Volkov, taking on Alistair Overeem. the main event. So he's going to be main eventing two straight Russian cards, the UFC's first two Russian cards coming up. And if I had to make a prediction right now, I'm picking Overeem like every single time.
By like hellacious knockout in the first round.
I mean, his ground game is underrated. You see it against Curtis Blaydes. Yeah, Curtis Blaydes is one of the best wrestlers at heavyweight ever.
But even Alistair did a good job at sweeping, getting back up to his feet the first couple times, or the first two rounds in that fight. So you really, like, Alistair Overeem won the European trials for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. He's that high level of a grappler. Yes, you see his kickboxing a lot more, but that's just because he's the K-1 champ. You're good at kickbox over grapple. But if the fight does go to the ground, I definitely trust him more than I would, like, a Mark Hunt to kind of get up to his feet, be calm, and do kind of the right steps to bring the fight back in your favor.
And great for Olenek, a guy who's at an advanced age for MMA, but he continues to perform at a high level, keeps on picking up these main events, and a guy that a few years ago, a lot of, you know, even hardcore fans probably wouldn't be overly familiar. A guy who competed in Bodog Fight Series against Chael Sonnen at 185 at one point. So kind of a neat story for Alexei Olenek and something you should pay attention to. And another fight that was announced, unannounced, here it is, here it goes. Kind of a trifecta, a threes company, if you will, between Yoel Romero, Jacare Souza, Paulo Costa. It was originally supposed to be Yoel Romero against Paulo Costa. And then what happened, Matt?
And then Yoel kind of came out on Ariel Helwani's show and said that Costa was having issues with USADA. Paulo Costa came back and said, no, it wasn't the case. But you really don't know because USADA doesn't...
They operate in mysterious ways.
Exactly. They don't come out anymore and say that the athlete's guilty right away. They wait for the investigation to happen. But it was definitely sinister, to say the least. So then they took Costa out of that fight, but it was so early on that they just put Jacare in. It wasn't like it was on short notice for either guy. I don't think either guy had really started at camp yet. So then it was Jacare versus Yoel 2. That's a big fight. That's definitely a title eliminator, probably. And then all of a sudden, Yoel had to pull out due to an illness, I guess. They didn't really come out and say what it was, but people have kind of alluded to the fact that it was an illness. So then he dropped out, and then they thought, oh, we'll put Costa in, because I guess he doesn't have those USADA issues. But now Costa doesn't want to accept the fight with Jacare. I just see on Twitter right now, actually, this is breaking news, that the UFC wants to do JDS versus Francis Ngannou as the main event there, but Francis doesn't want to do the main event against JDS. So it's definitely a weird situation for that UFC Miami. So hopefully they can find a main event sooner rather than later, because this coming up, I mean, is what, 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away?
Yeah, UFC Miami, it's going to be insane. Mike Perry's rumored to be on that card.
And no, he is fighting. He's fighting Brazilian Cowboy.
Yeah, that's you know, Mike Perry, jacked up Mike Perry. You get some Mountain Dew into that kid before a fight, and he's going to be saying more than he said before the Paul Felder fight. Yeah. So looking forward to that card. The other thing I wanted to note, and as we're recording this, you've got Josh Burnett's Bloodsport going on, a mix between wrestling and MMA, but Josh Burnett came out on Ariel Helwani's show, signed on the dotted line. You're going to see him in the Bellator MMA heavyweight
landscape.
Yeah, exactly. And looking forward to that. I mean, Josh Burnett had a lot of great fights, whether they were in Pride, UFC, Strikeforce, what have you. I mean, just a great all-around guy. Speaks very well, too, and a well-respected guy in just martial arts in general. I mean, you look at him with his Quintet grappling series. He does a lot of neat stuff, so I think it's a good signing for Bellator.
He does, and I mean, he's one of those guys, like, he's an all-time great MMA heavyweight. Like you said, he's fought in pretty much every organization. I personally would kind of like to see, it's the fight that ruined Affliction Fighting Series because Josh Burnett popped for steroids, but Josh Burnett versus Fedor, I would really like to see that fight.
Josh Burnett versus Fedor, another fight that we've been kind of tossing around is Josh Burnett against, there's so many. You could have him against Minnikov or Kharitonov or Javi Ayala.
I mean, really, I would say Frank Mir, but I don't know if he's retired or not. So
no, exactly.
Exactly. But it's definitely, I feel like Bellator is a good fit for him because there are, like you said, there's a lot of fun fights. There's definitely, maybe not the most competitive fights in the world, but I definitely think that there's a lot of fun fights. And really, him being signed, he's top five heavyweight already.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan Bader would give him fits, whether or not he sticks around at 265 down to 205. But yes, he is a top heavyweight in that division, a good signing by them, and really looking forward to it. So, lots of stuff to cover on Twitter, lots of fight announcements, whatnot. The last thing we want to leave you with is our highlights and our lowlights. You can go into your weekend enjoying a pretty much non-MMA weekend, yeah. But highlights and lowlights. The first one for me, it's an easy one, easy target. Lowlight, Conor McGregor, Khabib. That feud was ridiculous. Shouldn't have happened online. That is my lowlight. Matt, what is yours?
My low light is just the fact that the UFC did put out a poster for UFC Miami, and your co-main event for that card, I know there's a lot of, you know, skepticism as to what the main event's going to be. The co-main event is going to be Greg Hardy. Now, take all of the personal factors outside from Greg Hardy. Just look at his last performance inside the UFC. He got tired after 2 minutes, and he, I don't know if it was a loss via no contest, or loss via disqualification or no contest, but either way, he got tired, showed that he couldn't grapple, and then threw two illegal knees. I don't really think that warrants you a co-main event spot. And you might say, oh, well, Matt, co-main event doesn't really matter. Co-main events get the open workout. They get a lot more media than the main event does. And if you think, for instance, Mike Perry versus Alex Oliveira is going to be an amazing fight. I can tell you that already. It's a fight that makes fireworks. Why would you not put that as your co-main event? Because you're going to get a lot of people who are Mike Perry fans. I know he's kind of a weird guy to have such a massive popularity behind him, but he does kind of have a cult following almost. And a fight that's guaranteed to be fireworks. So put that as your co-main event. Give those guys a little bit more press.
And the man that he's fighting is Dmitry Smolyakov. And if you look at the lifeguard, well, if you go back to his first run in the UFC, he did a great job singing, if I'm not mistaken, Frank Sinatra at the Fighters Retreat.
So kid's got some lungs on him.
Check out that video. He does a good Frank Sinatra, but he did have a run in the UFC in 2016-17, lost to Luis Enrique, who's no longer with the promotion, a loss to Cyril Asker, who's not just a good fighter. He had a fight booked twice against Adam Vikzurek before he fought in Kaliningrad Challenge back in January. So he was out for just over 2 years. Got a win over Evgeny Bova, and now he's coming in 3 months later against Greg Hardy. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people pulling for the 34-year-old, the lifeguard, Dmitry Smolyakov. That's a good low light, Matt. I totally agree with you. My highlight of the week, Daniel Strauss coming back from that terrible, terrible motorcycle accident, able to get the win there against Shane Creston. And I know with Creston, he has a good story in his own right. Former American Special Forces member, had the tattoos of fallen friends and comrades in the army all on his back. So a neat tribute by him, but a great win for Strauss, who overcame so many struggles and challenges to come back that quick. I know the announcers, Mike Goldberg, Josh Thompson, and Big John kind of alluded to the fact that Strauss had told them before the fight he was at about 70%. That's not a knock or a slight on Creston. For Strauss to come back and fight the way that he did, man, that's got to put a fire in your belly.
Yeah, it was an amazing performance. You'll get emotional watching that and then knowing the story. I mean, it's crazy what he had to go through to get just back into... He had to relearn how to walk, much less fight. I mean, just what he's gone through is absolutely insane. As for my highlight of the week, it's that next week has MMA. It's just something to look forward to. There's not a lot going on this weekend. Maybe you guys are into bare-knuckle fighting. You guys can watch Artem Lobov fight Jason Knight. A grappler versus a guy with T-Rex arms. Maybe that floats your boat. But yeah, my highlight is that next week you're going to have a banger of a pay-per-view. We're going to be doing a fight companion for that. So yeah, my highlight is that this weekend's so bad, next weekend's got
to
be better.
Yeah, maybe you can go to the beach. Maybe you can try out new sunglasses. Maybe exactly. You can go shoe shopping.
Try on some neat hats.
There's all sorts of stuff you can do, and apparently shopping's the only thing we can think of. And before we go, a reminder that you could go to Spretzebox, order yourself a style box, name drop, use the promo code FNP. You can save 10% on your first order. You can order socks, whatever you want, shirts, or a style box, and 10% off, promo code FNP, spretzebox.com. And yeah, that pretty much wraps us up. I mean, we had a good week of news of past fights and fights coming up, so hopefully you enjoy a weekend to yourself, possibly. Maybe we're going to hang out and watch some WrestleMania over the weekend. Lots of stuff going on, but we really want to thank you for joining us. If you're following along on iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, whatever podcatcher you are on, be sure to subscribe. Maybe drop us a rating. We appreciate it. You can find us on Twitter at Craig Allen FNP.
At Matt Allen FNP.
And yeah, we're really looking forward to a good weekend. So we'll see you again next weekend.